Hi, everyone, and welcome to the official Nintendo Fever podcast. This is episode 3. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth, and I'm joined tonight by Matt Desend.
Hello, hello.
Hello to you as well. So today we're going to be going through our usual structure, kind of a familiar one. We'll shake it up a little bit with a little listener comment that we have, but other than that, we're just going to be talking about what we've been playing and have a little feature on basically just upcoming games for the Nintendo 3DS and Wii U, and we've separated those into three different categories. Soon, later, as in kind of later this year, I just kind of put them in there the way I thought they should be. And then we have future games that we were not quite sure when they're coming out. So, to get started, Matt, I was looking at one of our listener comments, actually our only listener comment for this week, comes from a Mike, so I was looking at that on the notes. But Matt, would you like to talk about what you've been playing this week?
I would love to talk about what I've been playing this week. And I have three games I'm going to talk about this week. And the first one I'm going to talk really briefly about, because I talked about it last week as well, but it's the Pokemon Shuffle game. Have you had a chance to play that yet? Just curious.
Actually, I haven't. I've been kind of absorbed in other games. I don't know why I'm holding off on it.
It's
free. Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so I have been playing a lot more Pokemon Shuffle. I really, really dig it. It's just a very simple, fun match 3 puzzle game. There's nothing like super crazy about it, but it is just, I don't know, it's one of the very first Pokemon products that I've played where I'm like, man, I really like this, but I realized how long it's been since I've played a Pokemon game now, because I don't recognize almost any of these Pokemon. Like, I get a Mew and I'm like, yes, I remember Mew. And then I get like this weird Pokemon that has like these these like really dark lines on the outside of it. I don't even know his name. I don't know. It's weird.
I am not sure which one you'd be talking about either. There are so many different designs for Pokemon now that
their names are pretty outrageous. Let's be honest. Like, at some point, they're just taking names out of a hat and just saying, I think that sounds good enough, right? That's all they're doing.
Yeah, in some cases, yeah. They're kind of, you know, stretching for ideas.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been playing a little bit of that. I'm stuck on level 58, almost on 60. So I'm trugging my way through. I guess there's 150 stages, but there's also a daily Pokemon that gets downloaded every day when you check in. And there's also the expert stages, which the expert stages I'm not a fan of, so I probably won't even touch those again. They're way, way too difficult for me. But yeah, so that was the first game I've been playing. Second game that I've been playing for review for our sister site Game Gravy, and the game is called Titan Attacks. Have you heard anything about this game?
I have not. Not at all.
This is a Space Invaders clone. It was originally put on the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation Vita. And the wonderful people over at Curve Digital Studios, they actually did a port to bring it over here to the 3DS. And
I haven't even heard of it. That's just plain sad.
The port is good. I mean, it's not terrible or anything like that. Curve Studio does really good work. I'm sure you're familiar with them from like Stealth Inc. 2 and
Stealth Inc. 2 is fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. And they're the guys that made that game, but they do a lot of ports as well, which is pretty interesting. They keep themselves very, very busy. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. This game, Titan Attacks, the review is going to be up very soon. I'm sure by the time you're listening to this, the review will already be up on the actual website, the GameGravy.com website. But there is slowdown in it, and which is makes it very difficult to play a Space Invaders type game when there's any sort of slowdown, because it honestly feels like you're trying to like maneuver out of a tight spot, and then there's this little bit of slowdown, and you're like, and it just doesn't really work very well for it, especially when you're trying to be really precise with your shooting. That affects it as well. It's also a $10 game, which I don't think there's enough content to value that price tag, and there's no 3D features in any way. There's no like depth of field look to it, which this game would actually have worked very well with, I think. So
yeah,
that's kind of sad.
Yeah, the new 3DS comes out. I actually played X-Cave for review, and it was one of the first games I played on my new 3DS XL, and I was really excited to, you know, like try out a new 3D game to test out the face tracking 3D. X-Cave doesn't even have 3D, and so that was actually kind of a letdown. Even though, you know, most people just keep 3D turned off. And even after face tracking 3D, I still keep it turned off most of the time.
When it comes to, like, this game right here, this Titan Attacks, it's a score attack game. I mean, it's literally you're on one screen, you beat a wave of enemies, then you go to the next screen. This would be a very easy one for me to keep the 3D on because I'm not running around. You know what I mean? Like, it's very stagnant. The screen doesn't do a whole lot of moving. It's just the things that are happening on the screen that are moving. So it'd be a very, it seems to me this would have been the perfect type of game to have 3D functionality in it. And it's a big letdown that there is no 3D in it at all. It was a little bit odd to me.
Yeah, that's a shame.
So that's the second game I've been playing. And the third game I've been playing is a game for review as well for GameGravy.com. It's called Adventure Bar Story. This is a RPG in the vein of like JRPGs, but you're also the owner of a restaurant and you have to go out and collect items like carrots and potatoes and recipes so that you can expand your menu for your restaurant while you're trying to defeat enemies so that you can hopefully save the restaurant from being bought by the evil corporation. But yeah, that's the other game I've been playing.
And it's kind of fantasy. It's not, you know, like yeah, modern day type thing.
Yeah, it is a fantasy game. And once again, no 3D effect.
What the heck? What's with all these games coming out that don't have 3D?
It's bizarre, especially considering the new 3DS is released, and you'd think that would kind of give the 3D, you know, kind of a boost back again, right? Like, kind of put that back in people's heads, like, oh yeah, this thing does 3D, and look how well it's doing 3D now. I just feel like these games that are not including 3D onto the system, I think it's going to hurt them in the long run, because a lot of us that really enjoy our 3DSs, we like to play in the 3D, at least to start with, and eventually we might turn it off. But the fact that they're not taking any sort of time, these developers, to put in any sort of 3D effect, to me, at least as like a Nintendo fan who spent the money for a new Nintendo 3DS, like it's a little bit disheartening that they're not taking advantage of that kind of feature.
Yeah, and it does kind of make them seem like, oh, well, that was just a little lazy. Maybe other aspects of the game weren't. You know, they didn't spend a whole lot of time on them either, so you never know.
And this game, I don't know about the RPG that you played for review, but this one doesn't actually use the circle pad. You can use it, but everything is analog in movement, not digital, so you only go up, down, left, or right. So you don't actually get like eight different types of movement where you can kind of go diagonal and stuff like that. You literally can go up, down, left, right. So anytime you're trying to like maneuver around like the town and stuff, you can't even go diagonal. And that's just another part where I'm just like, you have a circle pad here. I mean, this is like an analog stick and you're not going to take any time to try and use it. It just didn't make sense to me.
Yep, kind of a shame. As for what I've been playing, though, I once decided that I wouldn't let, because there have been times in my life where I'm all like, okay, I'm on a blog. I have to play as many different games as I can. And I started realizing, like, I'm buying way too many games, like, spending too much money, and I am not even really enjoying the games anymore. Sometimes that does happen to me. So I made a decision, like, I will, at least sometimes, you know, just play the games that I want to play. That is what I've been doing for the past, like, probably more than a week now. And I gotta get out of this. I know I do, because there are so many other great games that I know I would enjoy, and I have enjoyed. I just have to finish them. But I have been completely, completely obsessed with Fire Emblem Awakening lately. That game came out just over 2 years ago.
Yeah, this is an older Nintendo 3DS game. Very highly acclaimed 3DS game, though. This is not your first run through on it, though, right?
No, I've probably played the game for over like 300, 400 hours, I would say, total.
300 hours?
It is so addicting. Have you played Fire Emblem Awakening?
I have never played a Fire Emblem game ever.
Just get Awakening. It's really accessible to newcomers. And
I've heard that. I've heard a lot of good things in the sense where you've never played this type of game. Pick this one up because you can get into it real easy. I did download the demo of this game, and I did like it. I mean, it did seem like it was pretty fun.
Yeah. The demo, though, I mean, obviously, just like most demos, it doesn't have near as much content as the full game. And in Fire Emblem Awakening, one of the things that I get the most absorbed in Fire Emblem Awakening is actually kind of matchmaking. Having the characters fight together, and then they have these support conversations that can sometimes be really funny, and then they fight together even better. But then, you know, there are all sorts of different classes that your characters can change to, and there are so many characters that the options are just, the possibilities are just endless, you know, now, creating like the perfect team.
Ooh. Now, you think somewhere around 300 hours in this game, I got to ask you, like, these conversations that you're seeing. Now, have you heard them repeat a lot? Is there quite a bit of, like, different dialogue throughout the game? Or because if it's something that's keeping you interested this long, is it still new to you?
There are a lot of conversations that are new to me, actually, like little relationships that I just didn't think to develop or didn't have time to develop, I guess, in the past. So I'm like trying new things out. I mean, you've got like the base set of characters, and then each one of those female characters, or at least most of the original female characters, have a specific kid that they have that comes from the future and you can recruit into your team. Then you can have support conversations. You can always, always, always have support conversations between a kid and his or her mom and a kid and his or her dad.
Huh.
So, and there are, for every like pair of characters that has support conversations open to them, there are three different conversations at least. If they can get married, there are four. The last one is the S rank support, and it basically means they get married and possibly have a kid. Come back in the future.
So we haven't really talked about how you play this game, but so far it sounds like it's a relationship simulator. Is that about right?
A little bit. That's definitely one aspect of it, and it is surprisingly absorbing. It is super, super fun and interesting. There are quite a few characters, like there might be a male character that can have a support with another male character, and they obviously can't get married, and so there are those conversations to read as well. And for those of you who haven't, or for those of you who have the game and haven't seen the support conversation between Gaius and Libra, do that like ASAP. It's one of the funniest things I've ever read. Anyway, the main gameplay though is of course it's a strategy game. It's kind of grid based strategy game. Got a lot of RPG elements too because your characters can also level up, and the strategy is really good. Some people have complained, and this is a valid complaint, and I would kind of like be in the same category as these people. There is kind of a way to like breeze through the game. You have this item that you can buy pretty early on called Reeking Boxes, and they basically like make enemies appear on the map, and you can train up your characters to no end doing that. I mean, there is a limit to the skill points that they can earn in each stat, I guess, but you can make your characters from a pretty early time pretty dang powerful, and that almost makes strategy irrelevant, but that's kind of a choice. Plus you have the choice to select what is it called, hardcore
or casual mode. Yeah, I think it is hardcore or casual mode.
Yeah. Oh, it's classic. That's the
classic. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, classic mode makes it so that any character who dies, they're dead forever. So you can restart the level and re-strategize if you want, or just keep the characters dead, which seems kind of sad to me.
Now, how do you play it? Do you play the classic mode, or do you play the new casual mode so that you don't have to worry about losing your character forever?
I actually currently have two save files right now, one of each. Actually, I decided like I was doing casual for a while because I was just like, I just want this to be, you know, I just want to get through the story really quickly and not have to worry about that kind of thing, because I wanted to pair up Robin and Crom so that they would have Lucina as a daughter so that I could play Smash Bros. And play as the female Robin and Lucina and be like, oh yeah, Robin, Lucina. Oh. Anyway, so I just wanted to do that. And then I decided I'm going to create a new save file where the male Robin is going to marry Lucina. So that'll be another interesting dynamic for when I play Super Smash Bros. But I also decided to make it a little more hardcore, so I put that one on casual. And I have had a couple characters die, although my strategy's pretty good.
Yeah. What is it, reset the level immediately after that person dies?
Yes, I do, which is fine. It just means you have to rethink your strategy, and I've only done that a couple times because I do feel like I'm actually getting pretty good at strategizing in Fire Emblem. So
now, do you ever leave any of the characters just dead? Like, let's say you get really close to the end of this stage, and you only have one person left to kill, but one of your people died, like a turn before this. Would you keep that person dead, or would you restart the whole level?
In this particular save file, I'd restart the level. I don't want any of my characters dying. There is a way to kind of fast forward the action, though, so that you could you know, kind of do the same things that you did before to get through the bulk of the level. But that's you can good. Fast forward that.
So it cuts out some of the tedious things, kind of.
Yeah, like the battle sequence or the battle scenes and everything like that. But I usually don't like to skip those anyway. I really like when the characters like get a critical hit. Each character has like three or four different critical hit lines that they say, and they're basically just like cool one-liners just before they land an awesome, powerful hit. So anyway, for those of you who've played Fire Emblem Awakening, you just know, you know. For those of you who haven't, though, I hope that just get the game. That's all I can say.
That game good. Just
alone,
get the game.
Yes. It alone warrants the purchase of a 3DS. I've said this a few different times in a few different places online, but it's so true. Just get it and play it. It's an amazing game.
Now, it sold very well, too, didn't it?
It actually did, which is why we are getting a new Fire Emblem game on the 3DS from Intelligent Studios. Thank you. Thank you, Nintendo. I'm so excited for that. You know, I guess part of the reason I'm playing Awakening right now is because I'm so pumped for the new Fire Emblem. I cannot wait for that game. But kind of moving on, we're going to talk a little bit about a listener comment that we had last episode. We talked a little bit about game length, and we asked you lovely listeners to answer these questions on, like, you know, if you pay $60 for a game, do you kind of expect the single player story mode to be longer than, you know, like 10 hours or so? Well, Mike F. commented on that episode. He says $60 games nowadays focus too much on the multiplayer and cinematics and not on the single player gameplay itself. Pretty valid, I guess. But I think that a multiplayer mode is what makes a game have lasting appeal. Or at least it should be.
That should be the point of it. I feel like if you're going to include some sort of multiplayer mode, it should be the part that's like, when they're done with the single player mode, let's say, you can go through and play the multiplayer mode, be it a co-op version of like this of the story, or in, you know, most modern shooters, it's usually like some sort of like deathmatch or, you know, capture the flag or whatever the case may be, and that definitely helps the longevity of it. My question to him is, he says $60 games today focus too much on multiplayer and cinematics. So if a game focuses very heavily on the single player gameplay itself at $60, I'm curious as to how much time he wants to get out of that single player experience. Because I don't know if there's an issue with like cinematics when it comes to like single player gameplay, because those things help flesh out the story. And also there's something kind of nice to look at if you're doing good in the game. You get to see I remember when I was a kid, especially like Final Fantasy games, I almost exclusively played the game just to get to the next cutscene, especially like with Final Fantasy X, you know, 10. I literally played that game just so I could see what the next cool-looking cutscene was going to look like. And that was me personally. I don't know if you have any experience with doing something like that, kind of.
Maybe a little bit, but, you know, with Nintendo, and that's primarily what I play, it's mostly about the gameplay. I mean, I once realized that, like, I was playing Super Mario Galaxy or Galaxy 2, I don't remember which game I was playing. I suddenly had this epiphany. Like, I'm playing this game and going on this adventure to save Peach. Oh, I kind of forgot. So, to me, it's like, it's not really about the story.
No, it's not, but it definitely helps. And to just...
Yeah, certainly in some games.
And let's be honest, very funnily enough, like, Galaxy 1 has a pretty good little story to it. If you take the time to kind of seek it out, you have to go and talk to the Lumas and Rosalina and stuff like that. But Galaxy 1... tried to have a subplot within the Galaxy universe. Obviously, Galaxy 2 just kind of threw that in the back burner and just kind of gave like this reimagining of Galaxy 1 with just more awesome stuff. But Nintendo games are historically known for lack of story. But if you look at most of the games, there is a story that puts it together. It doesn't have to be award-winning. It doesn't have to be, you know, this amazing, you know, Oscar-winning screenplay. But there has to be a certain amount of motivation to keep you moving from one side of the screen to the other as well, I think.
Yeah, I do agree with that for sure. I'm actually quite a huge fan of the Zelda. I know that the Zelda storyline and timeline is just completely nuts, but just like that core story of good versus evil, I'm a huge fan of that. And I love good characters, you know? Link, he doesn't talk, but I still consider him a really cool and good character. Strangely, he's just so heroic. He's my hero.
Now, did you hear about the Netflix live action Legend of Zelda TV show they're working on?
Yes.
So
that
what do you
think?
That
hasn't been like 100% confirmed, though, has it?
To my knowledge, it's been confirmed. It's not like they've casted or like said when they're going to start shooting it, but like they are. It is a show that's like in development, where like it's going to be one of the shows they produce. Now, my question is, if they do this, are you excited to hear who they pick to be Link and what he has to say? What does this tiny elf boy, what does he think? What makes him so motivated? Is he, I mean, are we just going to hear him say, "Excuse me"?
That's a good point. I guess it's all on Nintendo. Well, most of it's on Nintendo.
They will have to ask for permission, I would say. Like, I'm sure, like, when you take a license from anybody, depending on what the agreement and the contract is, I'm sure they have to say, like, Nintendo, we want to do this, this, and this with the character. And it will be interesting to see how much they let Netflix, who's made very good shows. Have you seen a lot of the original Netflix shows?
I have not. I don't think I've seen a single one, in fact.
They're very, very good. Each one of them are very well produced. They have a good budget behind them. They have good actors and actresses behind them. They're very, very good stuff. And the fact that Netflix is handling this is very good. If it was like a sci-fi for interest, instead, it would worry me. I'd be scared. Like, I don't want to see the sci-fi version of The Legend of Zelda. But the Netflix version of it, if we could get something on the style of Lord of the Rings. Imagine Lord of the Rings in the Zelda universe, where it's about this you know, Link obviously going on an adventure to go and save Zelda. I mean, there doesn't have to be all this crazy action every 5 seconds. There doesn't have to be blood and gore. There doesn't have to be like too much craziness. There just has to be this amazing atmosphere, the sense of adventure, and cool looking monsters that eventually Link does kill.
Yeah, I'm kind of a Zelda purist, though, in that I still don't, I mean, I feel like if this TV show does actually come to fruition and Link has a voice, because obviously it's a TV show, he probably should have a voice, I'm not gonna like that. I don't want Link to ever have a voice for some reason. That's just me. But we'll see. We'll find out how that works. I just wanted to quickly mention, though, so the comments that Mike F. sent us were on Twitter. And another thing, and I just pulled up Twitter to find this. He also, another comment that he makes that is it's not about the length, really. It's more about what you're getting in terms of quality.
Yep. And I agree with that, too. And that was, I think, what we kind of landed on last week as well, is the $60 price tag doesn't matter when it comes to the extent of the game that you're playing. It matters on how well the game was made that you're playing is.
Yeah. And it's kind of up to you as well, you the player, like what you are expecting to get out of it. And if you get out of it what you paid, what you wanted to get out of it, it seems to me it's totally worth it. You know, I paid $40 for Fire Emblem Awakening, and I have now played the game for a few hundred hours. You know, that was, as far as I'm concerned, a good deal. If I bought a game that I want that, you know, say I paid $60 for a game that I thought, like, well, the gameplay looks awesome. I think the storyline probably won't be that long, but as long as, you know, as long as I enjoy it and I feel like it was worth it spending $60 on it, that, you know, that's my thing. It's kind of a personal thing, so. Yep. It's just kind of up to you, I think, mostly. That's my take on it, anyway. Moving on to our feature, though. Today we're going to be talking about upcoming games for the 3DS and Wii U.
Oh boy, there's quite a few of them. There's some good stuff coming up in the very soon future. The later future looks a little bit barren, not because there's not enough there, but just because we don't know actual release dates. And then the future, even though there's only
the
a few that we're going to... The future future. Even though we're only going to talk about it briefly, obviously, it is pretty exciting, the possibilities of what else is going to be added to that list later on. But let's go ahead and get started on the soon.
All right. So, soon, as in March 5th, let me look at my calendar here. Yep, that is this Thursday. We are getting two, like, according to you, Matt, this is a first for Nintendo.
This is very first for North America. There was a game came out in Europe. I don't remember the name of it, but it did feature Cross-Buy, but it was a... it was very weird because you couldn't get it if you bought the Wii U version. You could only get it if you bought the 3DS version, and then you'd get the Wii U version. It was very messed up. But these two games that we're about to talk about are absolutely cross-buy. You'll buy one on the Nintendo 3DS or the Wii U, and you'll get it for the other system for no charge at all. And what games are those?
Mario versus Donkey Kong, Tipping Stars, and Ollie Ollie. Ollie Ollie has already, you know, come out, so I guess it's coming to Nintendo for the first time.
Yes, and if you have never played Ollie Ollie, and if you don't have a PlayStation 4, and if you don't have a PlayStation Vita, you have to get this game. It is so much fun. I mean, it is 2D Tony Hawk skateboarding like it should have been done. I mean, I can't even fully express to you how much fun it is, addicting it is, and how just great in general it is. I'm telling you right now, I don't know if you can tell. Can you tell that I like this game?
No, you're probably going to have to be a little bit more, I don't know, specific. Just kidding. It is, you know, I've never played a skateboarding game in my life. But I did see the trailer for this, and, you know, the skateboarding aspect is like, well, that looks good. It looks like a really, you know, funny and charming game, especially when the lead character crashes. He'll biff it hard, it looks like.
Oh, yeah.
So, but it's a side-scroller. That is kind of an immediate turn-on for me, at least, so there's that.
Yeah, it is just, it's oozing with personality. The soundtrack is very solid. The graphics, the art style is like pixelated, not 8-bit, not 16-bit, just pixelated style. It looks very clean and crisp. I'm very excited to play it on my 3DS because I have my new 3DS XL, obviously, and I play that way more than I do my Vita. On my Vita, the game I play is Ollie Ollie, so I kind of feel bad for the Vita because it's going to get one less game that I'm going to be dedicating time to it because I'm picking this up. I want it on my Wii U. I want it on my 3DS, and luckily Nintendo is being so cool by allowing them to be cross-buy, which is exciting to see how well that works out. Also, Mario and Donkey Kong Tipping Stars is cross-buy. Are you into the Mario versus Donkey Kong games at all?
Not really. I played the one that came out as part of the Ambassador Program for the 3DS.
Yeah, that was for...
I don't even remember what that one was called.
Was that the Game Boy Advance version? Is that what you're speaking about?
Yes.
That one's not the best one. I would highly recommend checking out... There's a good one that came out on the DSiWare called, like, March of the Minis or Minis on the Move. One
it
of those
does
two.
Sound familiar.
That was a pretty good game. I didn't try the 3DS one, the one that was all, you know, 3D and stuff like that. I didn't try it because these games, for me at least, they're very much a one-trick pony and they're a lot of fun, but they run out of their gimmick quickly. So even though I played the whole game on the DSiWare one, I don't feel like playing another one of these games for a long time. But now that this one's coming out, and once again, it is cross-buy, I'm a little bit more interested in this because you can design stages and you can share stages over Miiverse and such.
Okay, so that does help a little bit, the sharing of stages.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that's going to break up the, what the game is a little bit to make it more appealing?
So it's actually a big mechanic of this game because the game is called Tipping Stars. And what you're doing is you're earning stars while you're playing. And you can use those stars to unlock things to help you with your building your custom stages. Or you can actually tip somebody your stars. So if someone does a really good job building a level that you really enjoy, you can actually tip them stars so they can earn more stars so they can build bigger and better levels throughout the time that they're using to make these different stages. And I think that's a very interesting aspect. It helps. To me, it says, in this community, we want people to respect other people's creations, and we want you to be able to give them like some sort of positive notion of, hey, you did a good job. And the best way we can do that is by letting you tip that creator in this, you know, quote unquote currency, and allow you to help them get even better. And I think that's a really cool idea.
Yeah, I may just buy the game just because I'm curious about how that tipping mechanic will work, actually.
And hey, you'll get it on the 3DS and the Wii U.
Yes, cross-buy. It's, you know, being a primarily a Nintendo fan. Yeah, cross-buy is kind of a mystery to me, but now I pretty much know what it is, and I'm excited. You know, it is a pretty appealing thing. So,
yeah.
About a week and a day later, we are getting, and this game just, I mean, March is like pretty much already here. In fact, by the time this podcast is released, it will be March. And so Codename Steam, it just kind of creeped up on us. It's coming out March 13th, which is another Friday the 13th. I'll have you know. I'll wait till the day after to get it because something horrible's going to happen.
Yeah, you're going to try to play it and then it's going to say, sorry, you're unable to play this. You have to redo all your syncing of your data again.
Or maybe it'll just like down or, you know, it'll charge me money and then it'll like act like it never, I never even bought it. So I'll have to buy it again. Who knows? I don't know.
That's a scary thought. That's a scary thought right there.
It is like spending $40 twice. It'd be sad. Codename Steam though. I don't know. I'm not even after playing the demo and I got access to the demo like a few days before the public did, which was awesome by the way. But even after playing the demo, I'm not like totally sold on this game. Even after, you know, Fire Emblem, obviously, Codename Steam is coming from Intelligent Studios, who make Fire Emblem.
Yeah, Intelligent Systems, right?
Yes, Systems. Yeah. That's it.
The neat thing, so Codename Steam, when I was watching like the trailers and the previews and such, like I was like, that looks cool. That looks interesting. I would enjoy that, I think, especially the third-person camera angle and everything. I was like, oh, that looks pretty neat. And then I got to play the demo as well because of the same circumstances as you. And I fell in love with this game. I was shocked by how much fun I was having with this. Like, I'm not, like I said, I've never really got into Fire Emblem. I'm not a huge, like, grid-based strategy RTS type guy. But the fact that the camera was moved, honestly, is everything to me. This feels like a third-person action game that you have to be strategic to play. And that is really cool to me.
Yeah, so I'm guessing it's a day one purchase for you then, or...?
Day one, possibly. I'm planning on getting it sooner than later is kind of what I'm heading towards.
Yeah. It would probably be later for me, kind of depending. I don't know. I just don't know on that one. The next game, though, I'm even more unsure about. This one comes out another week later, on March 20th. Fossil Fighters Frontier for the 3DS. I rewatched the... I was looking at some screenshots and reading some descriptions of the game, and I thought... Actually, it doesn't look half bad, even though the last time I watched a trailer for it, like, the music in the trailer just made me, almost sick to my stomach with cheesiness, you know?
Isn't this just basically Pokemon with fossils?
With, dinosaurs, woohoo, and you can drive around in a little buggy.
That's the weird thing about this franchise, is this is another Nintendo franchise. This is a first-party IP. And it's basically Pokemon. It's crazy, right? I'm not crazy for saying that, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't know it was a first-party Nintendo franchise is all.
Yeah, it is a first-party franchise Nintendo. It is a Nintendo-owned IP.
Oh my gosh. Well, if you're interested in it, watch the trailer. Don't have the sound on, though. It'll look really good, but if you have the sound on, you'll hear that cheesy song and you'll think, oh my goodness. Could listen to it with the music and just sit there laughing at it the whole time.
Honestly, and this sounds maybe a little weird, but this looks like a more like kid-friendly version of Pokemon, which I didn't think was even possible.
Yeah.
I have no interest in buying or playing or even watching the trailer for this game personally. I don't care about Fossil Fighters.
Well, you should try to watch the trailer. Just listen to that dorky music, and if it turns you off quickly, just turn it off and
maybe that's what will sell the game to me, is that amazing song.
Oh yeah, do yourself a favor, go watch that trailer with or without the music. I don't know, but with the music is actually, it's pretty humorous if really really cheesy. Same day though, Mario Party 10 comes out. Yay, only the amiibo like collecting fanatics are gonna get this game.
Yeah,
I guarantee you.
I haven't bought a Mario Party game in a long time. Have you?
We got 8, kind of as a family Christmas present, I think, for, you know, when we got the Wii.
Okay. And
that was the last one.
And so I don't even remember anything about Mario Party 9. Do you?
9?
Yeah.
It was one where they introduced, like, all the four characters, like, they travel around the game board.
That's
in
that
the same
one.
Little buggy.
Okay.
And that, I think they're bringing that back, which is kind of stupid, because that was one of the things that people complained about in 9.
Really? I thought that's what people liked, because everyone, it made the game go faster, I thought.
I don't even know, but it seemed kind of dumb to me. But anyway, for those of you who are wanting to maybe stick up for Mario Party 10, Please send us some comments or questions, and I'll let you know how to do that at the end of the show. Moving on, we have at the end of March, we're getting Story of Seasons for the 3DS, which is basically a Harvest Moon game. Exactly. But I don't think Natsumi, I don't know if that's how you say it. I think they own the rights to the name Harvest Moon.
Yes.
And they weren't involved in this or something like that. And so it wasn't allowed to be called Harvest Moon over here for some reason. I don't even get it.
I don't either. I don't even know who it's XSEED that I believe is publishing this.
Yeah.
And I don't know who the developer was of it though. But there is some
Marvelous,
sort of,
I believe.
Marvelous. Okay, yeah. So that's the thing, is I think that there are people that help create the Harvest Moon franchise that moved away from Natsume, and they started to make this game, and obviously they couldn't name it the same thing, so they changed the name of it. And it is supposed to be basically the same style of game. I've seen a trailer for it and stuff, and I do like Harvest Moon games for the most part. So it'll be interesting to see, one, how the reception of this game is to people that are fans of Harvest Moon games, and just to kind of see how it goes, I guess.
Yeah. The only problem is that, farm sims are a dime a dozen, and you really have to set yourself apart.
But good farm sims are not existing yet.
Few and far between. All right. So, yeah, that's one to kind of keep your eyes on, I guess. Etrian Mystery Dungeon is the next one. I believe that's a crossover between Etrian and the Mystery Dungeon series. Yes, neither of which I have very much experience with.
I know some people that are pretty dang excited for this game.
I do not.
Etrian Odyssey, like I know nothing of it. I really don't. I tried to play a demo. I believe there was a demo on the 3DS eShop that came out for one of them. And it's a first-person dungeon crawler game where you have to draw your own map while you're playing the game. This is super hardcore. This is pen and paper dungeon drawing, all sorts of crazy RPG
fighting
stuff.
Fighting monsters.
Yeah, and leveling up and spending money and doing it all right, or you die and start over and you lose everything. Ugh, just sounds too hardcore for me.
I am kind of the same way. I need a really, accessible, and maybe this game will be accessible, an accessible entry point into the dungeon crawling RPG, because I have very little experience in that RPG, or that genre. But anyway, the next game, this comes out April 10th, Xenoblade Chronicles 3D. I'm getting it. I'll just leave it at that.
Exclusive for the new Nintendo 3DS XL. Make sure that's the important thing here. It can only sell as many copies as there is new Nintendo 3DS XLs there are out there in the marketplace, because it can only be played on that. And I bought it and I have to buy it, right? I mean, we almost made an agreement when we bought the new Nintendo 3DS XL that we were going to buy this when it came out, right? That was a part of when we bought this.
It certainly was for me. I just want any excuse to replay this game. And, the new 3DS XL is like the perfect excuse. I'm like, yes, I can play it again.
I've never played it. I've always wanted to play it. And now is my chance. And I'm not going to let it get away.
Yes. Yes. Sing it. Anyway, the next game we have on here is Starwall, Just the Tip, April 30th. It's an indie game. It's kind of like what looks like sort of a fighting game. It's multiplayer, looks local multiplayer anyway. You basically are a narwhal, and all the other people who are playing are narwhals, and you try to stab each other with your little unicorn horn.
I believe this just came out on PlayStation platforms actually recently, and I heard some decent little things about it.
It does look pretty quirky, if nothing else.
The way you control yourself, I heard, is really different. It's I don't know. Maybe this is the game I was thinking of, maybe not, but like it's pretty unique the way that you're actually like controlling yourself to try to attack each other. Because the point is you're trying to stab the other characters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. This is the game I was thinking of. Yeah, it looks fun. I mean, this would be a blast to play with a big group of people at your place, with a bunch of like munchies and drinks and just hanging out and just playing Starwall, Just the Tip.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if the trailer's any indication, then the control does look a little bit, different. So the next game we have on here, same release date, you know, kind of, I'm like waving my hand here because it's kind of like a so-so release date, April 30th. I'm assuming that just kind of means April. Affordable Space Adventures. This one looks really funny and quirky, and I'd really, really love to support it just because it just, it looks so different and new, you know?
I think I've watched one or two trailers for it, but I can't remember what it looks like. Is this the one that's like, I'm gonna pull up a trailer, you kind of talk for a minute, I'm gonna watch it.
It's a kind of a sci-fi thing. I think the developers have described it as kind of a stealth puzzle game. You are in control of an affordable spaceship. And this is, I think this is a quote directly from this, like, developer interview. You control the ship, or most of the time it kind of controls you. It's just supposed to be funny and quirky and comedic. But also a little atmospheric. I mean, the graphics look a little bit dark and moody and dreary.
They do. I do remember watching a trailer or two for this. It looks very interesting. This is, this looks pretty fun. This is something I'd like to check out. This looks like a very Metroid-esque type game.
Yes, certainly in terms of atmosphere, you're kind of just like, you know, on your own and in this dinky little, the only difference is that you're in this dinky little spaceship that, you know, for the most part, I think, you know, for the most part, these spaceships are just going to be barely functioning. So it should be pretty funny. Anyway, the next game, again, another indie game, Blast'em Bunnies, looks pretty good, if a little generic.
What is this? I know nothing. Please tell me this is not Angry Birds.
It comes from a developer called No.
No, and when I say it like that,
there's two N's and then like three O's.
No, I think is how it's pronounced.
I think it's pronounced No.
No, because you got to over-exaggerate the multiple N's. So you got to go, No.
No.
Exactly.
That's just depressing, though. Well, it does look like it could be a pretty fun
comedic game. No, I'm not saying their name over and over. I'm watching the trailer. No.
You never know.
No.
No.
This is not for me. I'll just say that. This game is not for me.
Okay. Well, since you are a musician, composer, perhaps the next game on the list will be for you. It says it's coming out May 2015, supposedly. It's called Beat Buddy. It's actually a music game.
Yeah, I've heard of this. This is originally released on Steam, I believe. And it's a very funky soundtrack game where as you're playing the game, the music is changing like throughout, I believe. But I never played it. I only heard about it, and I don't know. That's all I know about it,
kind of. Every single time any kind of a rhythm game comes out for a Nintendo system, I am automatically interested just because I really love rhythm games. So I'm definitely looking forward to this one. Coming out in the same month, though, we have Splatoon, which is supposedly coming out in May as well.
That's a day one, but I do think it might get delayed. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that, just because we got a lot of information, and you know, especially off that last Direct. I mean, the next Nintendo Direct, if it's going to be in March, as it kind of sounds like it might be, it'll be interesting to see what they have to say about it. Because if they want to nail the online infrastructure right, I would be okay with them taking a little bit of time and delay it till, you know, maybe the end of June or something like that, just so that they get it right. Because when I get on this game, Splatoon, and I play it, I mean, I plan to not put it down. Like, it's going to be my late night game where I sit there and I do multiplayer after multiplayer matches. I'm very excited for Splatoon.
Okay. I'm not totally sold on it, but have you seen the Tumblr page for it?
I have not seen a Tumblr page for
it. You need to go find that. Maybe I'll send you the link, because it's actually got tons of like artwork and screenshots and things that like nobody seems to know exist. So it's actually really cool.
Is it an official?
It is actually, what do they call it? I have it bookmarked here, so I'll quickly look at it. It's called the page is called, Live from Squid Research Lab.
Uh-huh,
and it is 100% official.
I just found it.
Sweet.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. The latest artwork that I'm looking at right now, and you might be looking at it too.
Yeah.
That is just cool. See, that's the type of thing that makes me... Anyway, for our listeners, go to the Tumblr page.
No, let's keep describing pictures to the listeners. Look, they have a picture of a sneaker.
The artwork is it's very like kind of watercolory, and I love it. Super colorful and stylistic. So yeah, just go check it out for yourself for sure. If anything is going to sell me on that game, it's going to be like this website. And it, so far, you know, I have seen some things on the website, on the Tumblr, that have been like, ooh, maybe I will get this game day one. But we'll see. The next game, coming out May as well, supposedly, Puzzle & Dragons Z/Puzzle & Dragons Super Mario Bros. Edition. Not that interested in this one yet.
So here's what I heard, and I don't know anything about this. But I heard Puzzle & Dragons is basically the same gameplay as Pokemon Shuffle. And if that is the case, I'm going to lose myself. I'm not, you're going to have to come searching for me, because I'm totally down to play a Pokemon Shuffle type game with Mario Brothers pieces. Sounds awesome.
Yeah. And it's also kind of RPG and story heavy as well. And yeah, so there are those interesting elements.
The Puzzle & Dragon Z is the RPG. The Puzzle & Dragon Super Mario Brothers edition, I think, is less RPG, and it's just the puzzle game, I think. But I could be wrong.
Yeah. I think you, like, you know, can recruit Mario characters and even enemies and things into your game somehow or something like that. Anyway, I'll have to go and do a little bit more looking into that. But now we are moving on to our next kind of category of upcoming games. The games that are coming out later, as in kind of later this year is what I put here. I'm just going to quickly name off the indie games that are listed on here. We have Anne coming out in June. That was something.
Never heard of that one.
Anne coming out in June. You never know. It could come out right in between June and July. So
never know.
That would be something. Anyway, so Runbow comes out in July.
That looks awesome. Looks like a ton of fun.
Yeah, 9-player simultaneous for local play. That is probably like a first.
What controllers does it support? Do you know? Or is it just all... I wonder...
It's all game pads. You have to have a game. Oh, that'd be nuts. It'd probably run you like several hundred dollars to get enough game pads for that. I think it'll use like Wii remotes by themselves, Wii U Pro controllers. It will probably even use Wii Classic controllers.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think, all the different possibilities, because nine controllers is a lot of controllers. It really isn't. I don't know many people that have 9 controllers. Do you?
I'm pretty sure I could scrounge up enough, yeah.
Yeah, between friends and family, I can imagine so too. I'm excited to play this game. I'm excited to get my friends together and play this one, because this one looks like a real... Did you ever play Get Close?
I have never even heard of that.
Get Close is a multiplayer game for the Wii U, and the way it's played is the two people playing it use the same controller. One controls the left side of the controller, the other one controls the right side of the controller, and you're either in cooperation or you're in competitive. But it's very fun, and this looks like a game similar to that, where like there's going to be a lot of chaos happening all at once.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it just for that. We also have coming out in July Yoshi's Woolly World.
Yes, please.
It doesn't look half bad. Actually, I'm more and more sold on it when I think about, I loved Kirby's Epic Yarn, and I'm just now like, you know, playing, I think I'm in World 3 or 4 in the original Yoshi's Island.
The original, the very first Yoshi's Island for the Super NES?
Basically, I got the GBA port downloaded on my Wii U.
Oh.
That's how I'm playing it currently.
Now, don't
you
have...
Superb game, man.
Yeah,
and that's what makes me think, like, I think I could like Yoshi's Woolly World, but
wait,
you know, we'll see.
Is this the first time you're playing a Yoshi's Island game?
Yes, actually it is.
I
missed out on it.
Oh, man. Yes, I want full reports next week.
Okay.
Full report.
If I don't play Fire Emblem Awakening all day, every day.
You're not allowed to. I'm telling you right now. You have to play more Yoshi.
Yeah, well, as far as I can tell, that game is just a stellar, stellar game. It holds up super well. It's just plain fun.
Yes, it is. And Yoshi's Woolly World, if it has similar techniques and style to Epic Yarn from, you know, Kirby Epic Yarn, but it still plays like a old school Yoshi game, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be so very cool.
Yeah, I agree. You're making me a little more pumped about this than I was before.
Yoshi.
So also, you know, supposedly coming out this year for the Wii U is Project Cars. not that interested in it, but, you know, I would like to, I want to do what I can to kind of support third parties on the Wii U, because I want to show them, like, please make games for Nintendo systems. We'll buy them. Maybe. It's just that it's not my kind of game. That's the only problem.
See, I have an issue with that, too, where I want to support third party. I really do. But it's true. I don't want to play Project Cars. Like, if I found that game in a budget bin for $25, $15, I would buy it. I would buy it for $15, $25. I do not want to spend $50 to $60 on that game. I just don't care enough about it. But I would like to see it run, play, the graphics of it. Like, it does look cool. It looks like it's very, very well done. But I just don't care about realistic racing games.
Yeah. You never know. I mean, I haven't played a whole lot. I played a Forza game. It was my first Xbox game ever, and it was maybe, you know, like several months ago. My first Xbox game, or my first experience playing an Xbox ever. It was Forza, and it wasn't too bad, you know. But, you know, the developers of Project Cars, they have delayed the Wii U version, possibly more than the others. I'm not totally sure what's going on. But they are, you know, trying to convince everybody that there's no trick to it. Like, they just want to make a great game, including, you know, putting it on the Wii U.
This is going to be like the Watch Dogs situation all over again, and it's going to get delayed and delayed, and who knows if it comes out. I hate to say it, but you never know.
Yeah. I'm hopeful, though, you know, about the developer actually being honest when they say that, like, we delayed it so we can make it the best game possible. Yeah. Coming out this year also, supposedly, and I'm pretty sure it will come out this year. Maybe that's just wishful thinking, but Xenoblade Chronicles X. There's, ooh, you know.
Yeah, I could see it coming out this year. It definitely should, I think. I don't know if it should, I guess, because it just kind of depends on... So wait, are we in... Let me pull up my notes. All right.
We're in our later section.
When do you think it's going to come out, though, this year? When does it fit into the mold?
October?
Okay.
Just throwing it out there.
But are we going to see... are we going to see Legend of Zelda in November?
That's what I think, yep.
And then
meaning that Star Fox will come out in October as well.
Star Fox can't be October. That's too late.
Too late, you think? Okay.
There's not enough going on in October, especially if you're going to release Xenoblade Chronicles in October. That's going to hurt Star Fox.
I guess that would be true. Xenoblade Chronicles X, that game just speaks for itself in terms of awesomeness.
What if we see Star Fox in September, Xenoblade in October, Legend of Zelda in November, and then Mario Maker in August?
August actually sounds really great for Mario Maker. It seems like one of those games that, you know, it can't be that much harder to, you know, finish it, Nintendo. It looks like it's in a pretty good, you know, state right now, at least.
I think it's probably close to finished. Here's my question to you. Is this going to be a full retail game, or is this going to be a downloadable game?
That is a good question. I'm just going to throw out retail game.
I'm going to throw
physical
out
physical copy.
Digital first. They're going to do the same thing they did with NES Remix, which kind of annoys me because I don't like buying digital unless I absolutely have to. So I want to go get a physical version of NES Remix, but I already own it digitally. So, like, it's really hard for me to want to spend that money, obviously, for it. But I would rather buy Mario Maker as a physical release. But I would like to see it in that $40 range like we saw for Kirby and other games of the sort, you know, and Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker. I think Mario Maker could definitely be one of those $40 games that fits in there really well.
Yeah, that does actually sound pretty accurate. I do think that it's going to be initially a retail release, physical, right from, you know, day one. I think maybe Nintendo's taking the extra time to make sure that it's a full-featured game, kind of unlike Super Smash Bros., which came out and Nintendo immediately was like, there's all these other features that are coming soon, coming next year, you know, the Mewtwo DLC, that's okay. But, you know, the Miiverse stage, things like that still haven't come out yet. Tournament modes.
Oh boy, can't wait for tournament mode.
We don't even have a tournament mode in the local play for that game, which kind of baffles me. It's like, how hard would it be to put a tournament mode in the local?
You know, we should almost have put in we should almost put in like a Super Smash Brothers update in one of these lists, Do you think that's going to be soon, later, or sadly in the future?
I'd say later.
Like
later,
June?
As in kind of like, yeah, maybe summer, maybe summer-ish.
Hurry up, Nintendo.
I'll say. You know what else we could possibly put here is the, and I believe this is coming
out probably
in May. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, it is. It's coming out in May.
DLC.
Mario Kart DLC is coming out May 11th, I want to say, something like that.
There, I didn't know there was a solid day for that.
Oh, maybe there's not. Maybe I was just being hopeful.
Well, that's another thing that I'm ultra excited for. The first pack of DLC for Mario Kart 8 was just fantastic.
Awesome.
A prime, like the best possible example that you could think of for DLC done right, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. The Excite Bike stage was awesome. The characters were really good, and the fact that they did it in two batches and they gave you carts, characters, stages. I mean, the stages alone, like you think about like the amount of stages you got with it, like it costs like an eighth of what a Mario Kart game, and you're getting like a quarter of a Mario Kart game. It's just perfect. Well done for DLC on that game.
Uh-huh. You know, the characters are kind of, you know, debatable, but that's the only part of the DLC that's like, yeah, Nintendo, you could have done better because,
you know,
it's
all about the stages. Let's be honest.
Cat Peach. Exactly, exactly. It's not even that much about the new carts or anything. It's mostly the stages, which are amazing. Cat Peach and Tanuki Mario, though. Come on, Nintendo. How many different Peaches do we have now? We have regular Peach, Baby Peach, Pink Gold Peach, Cat Peach. Seriously?
Isn't Baby Peach supposed to be different than regular Peach, though? I mean, it's like future and past. I mean, they're different.
Well, it still is. It still is just kind of like an...
Yeah, it's still just Peach.
It pretty much is. You know, same character, just altered a bit. Anyway, right. Kind of a disappointment there.
So we only have a couple games for the future. Let's rattle them off real quick, and we'll kind of... Because I don't have a whole lot to say about a couple of these, personally.
Yeah, me neither, honestly.
Devil's Third. I'm interested in seeing if it actually turns into something playable. Like, out of the trailers and the gameplay and everything we've seen, like, yes, it's going to be a game, but is it going to be a good game? I don't know. It looks very... So Japanese developers, when it comes to their action games like Ninja Gaiden and stuff like that, and this is actually made by the guy who made Ninja Gaiden, but they have this, like, certain... I don't even know what to say. They're very dated control-wise. The controls are very, very stiff, very, like, you have to play it a very certain way. And it kind of looks like that's what Devil's Third is going to be. I'm excited to play it, and I want it to be good, especially because this is an exclusive. This is a third-party exclusive game. I just want, and it worries me about how much effort they're putting into the online as well, because if there's not a good community to support the online play, it just doesn't matter about that kind of thing. But it looks fun. It looks funny. It looks like it could be good. I don't know. Do you have anything to say about Devil's Third?
Not really. Honestly, it doesn't seem like my type of game, to be perfectly frank. But Fire Emblem, the new one coming out for the 3DS, which we have a teaser trailer for at the moment.
That's 2016, right?
I don't think it's technically been confirmed for 2016. But yeah, it's a good bet that it will be 2016 because it's super doubtful that it'll be 2015.
I mean, it'll probably come out 2015 in Japan, and then we'll see it like 2016 in the summer. Isn't that kind of what happened with Awakening? It came out in Japan in the later part of that year, and then it came out in the middle part of the next year for America.
Sort of. It came out in February of 2013. And then I think it was a couple months later before Europe got it. Poor Europe. That's one of those. They get games before us quite a lot lately. So when I think back on, you know, like, we got Fire Emblem first, that's something I can say and be like, yes.
We own that one.
At least that happened. So, yeah. So that one's super exciting. Look up the teaser trailer if you haven't already seen it. I think it is just the Fire Emblem announcement trailer is what it's called. So you can search for that on YouTube. Wow, it looks good. The next game on here, Shin Megami Cross Fire Emblem. Not interested.
Doesn't exist. I'm calling it right now that was canceled. It was something that was in very early talks and agreements, and they were like, yeah, we could do this. It'd be fun to do this. So they announced it because they needed to announce games at the time for the Wii U. Like, they very heavily needed to announce games. This game is just not going to happen. We haven't heard anything else about it. It's going to fall and fade away into oblivion. And no one's ever going to find out what the game could have been like. But that's just my guess. Because we didn't hear about anything. We have not heard about it since it was very first talked about. So unless we hear information very soon about this, I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't ever want to see a Fire Emblem crossover game. It's like I mentioned, I think in episode 1, I did not like Hyrule Warriors, and I'm just like, I would have been fine if that game never existed, because I love Zelda, but it just was not a Zelda game. It wasn't as great as everyone seemed to think it was. I did not like Hyrule Warriors.
You can take the Zelda out of the Link, but you can't put the Link inside of the Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, that, what he said. So yeah, and I love Fire Emblem now that I've played Awakening, which was kind of my first Fire Emblem game. Well, I did play the Ambassador one, Sacred Stones, briefly. But Awakening was, you know, my big first Fire Emblem game that I loved and played a ton, obviously. I don't want to see a Fire Emblem crossover. I don't want to see the formula diluted.
What if it's a crossover game with a game that is the same style of a Fire Emblem? Like, is there one RTS-style game you could see possibly working with Fire Emblem?
Nope. Haven't given it much thought. Maybe I will, but for the moment, nah.
All right.
Just leave it be, please.
And the last game that we have on our future list is a game that we won't see. I don't even know why you put it on here.
Yeah, wishful thinking.
Wishful thinking. This is like delusional thinking. I'm sorry.
Delusions of grandeur.
Dragon Quest X. I have nothing to say. I don't care about these Dragon Quest games. They're just...
I honestly haven't played very many. I think I played the original, which was Dragon Warrior on the NES. Isn't that right?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. Played that for a little bit. That's about it. But, you know, it does seem like something I would like, so
well,
I would not say no to...
In Japan, this is an MMO, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also subscription-based. Now, Monster Hunter is actually subscription-based to play online in Japan. Did you know that?
We're talking about 4 Ultimate or, like, the iOS games?
4 Ultimate. I believe that all the Monster Hunter games, just to play it online, you have to pay a monthly subscription fee in Japan. So my question is, do you think that if for some bizarre reason, it's not going to happen, if some bizarre reason we got Dragon Quest X, would it be some sort of subscription-based service or would it be buy and own?
I would say it would be subscription. It is an MMO, which Monster Hunter isn't. Maybe they like to charge through the nose down in Japan, but they don't do that for Monster Hunter here. But Dragon Quest X being an MMO, I do think that they charge for that. Square Enix charges for their, you know, Final Fantasy MMOs on a month, you know, for a monthly subscription.
I believe it's free to play now.
Really?
I believe
so. Not the whole thing, certainly.
Well,
like, you have to...
No, the majority of it's free to play, and then you buy, you know, inside of the game, obviously, different things. But I believe, like, it's called Free Realms. Isn't that their newest game that they have out that's an MMO? Free Realms?
It does actually... It does sound correct, sort of. My brother's into Final Fantasy XIV on his PC.
Yeah,
and that does kind of sound like something.
It just recently went free to play, I believe. So it'll be interesting to see how even World of Warcraft is losing subscribers every day. You know, can anybody really do the whole, you know, what's it called? The whole subscription-based service anymore in this day and age of freemium and free-to-play games. It's hard. I don't know the answer.
Yeah. And it's like I mentioned, I believe, in the last episode. I'm just kind of referring back. Anyway, I am super, super reluctant to pay monthly for anything gaming-related. So, yeah. Actually, before we close the show, I actually thought of a game that I don't remember which game we were talking about, but I thought of a new game to add for future, Project Treasure from Namco Bandai.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. It's a 4-player co-op action game that it's also free to play. So
yep.
I don't know what we know. Obviously, nobody knows what the mechanics are going to be in terms of how much of it's free, how much it's going to cost to do this or cost to do that. But I like Namco Bandai games. I would love to see almost like a Tekken-based fighting game that's 4-player co-op somehow. It's probably going to be more like, I don't know, from the vibe that I got, at least, it's going to be more like a 4-player co-op shooting action game. That's kind of the vibe I got. What about you?
I wouldn't say shooting.
Do you think it might be fighting?
No, not fighting either.
What about like a 3D 4-player co-op, you know, brawler? Like a Double Dragon style brawler.
I guess what I'm mostly thinking of was, you know, just plain old, mostly plain old action, you know? It's like a, it's, they're calling it Project Treasure because part of the game is about looting and things like that. Bringing back the loot.
Bringing back the loot.
Yep. Which I never have very great ideas when they give us such vague details, like nothing really comes to mind. I just like to see how it'll be, but.
Well, I'm
interested.
I just
kind of doubt it'll be a shooter.
I don't know. The vibe I got was definitely more of a shooter. Could I see it being something else? Would I be surprised to see it be something else? Not really. The shooter is the thing that stood out most just because that's what everybody does. You know, there's a lot of free-to-play first-person shooters online today. You know, you can literally throw a rock at your computer screen and the rock will go inside of your computer screen into the internet and it will hit a free first-person shooter before it hits anything else. scientific fact. Go and try it at home, kids.
Yeah, our thoughts on Project Treasure. I am definitely optimistic about it just because it's, you know, third party and it's brand new. It's a brand new IP.
And exclusive.
And exclusive to Wii U. So there are some great things about this game. We'll just have to see how it turns out. And I am absolutely stoked to find out, actually. I'm more stoked than I usually let on, I think. But yeah, it's a pretty exciting prospect.
There is a ton of games that are going to be coming out. I'm excited for this list, honestly.
Yes, we have reached the end of the list for now. I mean, there are tons of other games that, you know, haven't even been announced yet.
And there's also a bunch of, like, 3DS eShop, Wii U eShop games, VC games. I mean, there's lots of stuff that's going to happen between now and before this future list ever becomes complete that we're going to see inside the middle here. Like, we're talking about games that we have actual cold-hearted release dates on, or we have an idea that they're going to be coming out sooner than later. But we don't know a lot of the indie games that are going to be coming out. We don't know things that are going to get announced next week. We don't know what virtual console games, what Wii games might come virtual console-wise. Like, there's so much stuff still coming, and all my wallet can do is cry.
Everyone kind of bags on the Wii U and Nintendo in general, but there are great things coming, and it's kind of like I posted an article on Nintendo Fever about reasons to get a new 3DS XL. One of those big reasons is just like first-party Nintendo games. It's the only... A Nintendo system is the only way to get those games, and they're almost worth it on their own. So sometimes they're kind of baffling, but other times they're just the greatest.
You know,
greatest games you can play.
I don't believe that anyone should be stuck to one system. You know what I mean? If you're capable, if it's possible, get all of them. Obviously, that's not really the most reasonable thing to do. But, you know, don't ever be afraid to look at the other side of the grass and think like, oh man, there's nothing good over here. Because there's good stuff here, there's good stuff there, and there's good stuff over there. It's all about playing games that you find interesting. And looking at this list, there's so much variation from everything between puzzle games, you know, a bizarre third-person action game, a huge RPG, a racing simulator, puzzle. I mean, just everything is on this list. And that's the exciting thing for me, is that there's a couple games on here that I'm super excited for. But this has been a very fun show this week, Holly. Would you agree?
I would definitely agree. I love just talking about games, and that was kind of like the theme of our show. Just games, you know?
Lots and lots of them.
Yep, so let us know which one of those games that you are looking forward to the most, or which ones you think, like, oh my gosh, that's going to be the worst game ever, or let us know anything, you know?
I have the answer to that. That's going to be Blast'em Bunnies. if anyone listening wants to play Blast'em Bunnies, please tell me. I want to know why. Maybe it's a style of game you like. I don't know, but no, just don't.
Yeah, oh boy. So let us know that. Yes. Also, if you have any questions for us to answer, please let us know those as well. We'd love to do a whole section on listener questions that we can talk about.
That would be lovely.
And the way you can do that is by sending us an email to podcast@nintendofever.com, or you can send us little tweets.
Yeah,
if
please
you like
do.
Twitter.
I love Twitter very much. I'm a huge fan, and I will follow you. I will talk to you. I will engage with you. Just talk to me. I mean, hit me up. Follow me on Twitter @onlymattdezen. I love using Twitter. It's my favorite social media site beyond anything else by far. But yeah, come and find me on Twitter @onlymattdezen. Make sure to find at Game Gravy and also at Nintendo Fever. And Holly, aren't you on Twitter as well?
Yes, I am. My Twitter handle is at Holly Fellmeth. There's no spaces there. It's just HollyFellmeth. I think I may be the only Holly Fellmeth on the planet, by the way, just, you know, so you know. Fellmeth. Haven't met many of those on the planet. Anyway, but yes, I'm on Twitter as well. And Miiverse is my favorite social media site. I'm being sarcastic, by the way. But you can also follow us on Miiverse or a friend request us on Wii U.
Yes, you can.
My Nintendo Network ID is Aeroweth, AeroWeth.
And you can find me on at Only Matt.
He's the only Matt on there.
I'm the only Matt that matters.
Yes, indeed. So friend request us. As long as you say something like, hey, I listen to your podcast, I will 100% guaranteed friend you on my Wii U. Even if I have to delete some people because I'm getting kind of up there in, you know, numbers of friends. But anyway, thank you very much for listening and staying with us on this kind of an extra long show. We'll see you next week for episode 4. We'll see you later.
See ya.